to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club. The most exclusive club for men in the country, where every Saturday we're going to talk about taking an animal, throwing it on some scorching fire, and turning it into the most tantalizing, tasty morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman. But we don't drag our women into the caves by the hair. We're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure women into your cave and keep her hair looking good. We don't use clubs. We use Smith & Wesson, Bowtech, and Abu Garcia. When you want to find the center of the grilling universe, you look at a map of North America and just look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys. Peace, love, and barbecue.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Got a little Grilling Guys special edition for you today. Been excited about this ever since I made the phone call, and my friend Mr. Tim Sobey agreed to sit in the right-hand chair because Barbecue Bob is out on sabbatical again. He's out doing a little field research for us while he makes a little money for his family. But we are lucky enough, guys and ladies, to have a master butcher sitting right beside me, Mr. Tim Sobey of Sobey Meats. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Chop.
Hey, man, it's so good to have you here. You know, we've been working with you in the meat market pretty much ever since the Grilling Guys started, and you have been an incredible support for the Grilling Guys and just an incredible host every time we come to your shop. And what a pleasure to have you here. And we're going to have a little bit of fun because this whole show is going to be a tour of the butcher shop and your perspective and your advice on all the different proteins that may be available in the shop there, you can find in any local butcher shop. And what do you want to find out about each cut of meat? Why do you want to grill it? Why do you want to smoke it? Why would you want to grind it up and put it in a casing and make a brat out of it, which you do? How many of those?
Actually, we're up to 26 brats. We just came out with a Reuben brat, which we potentially might be sampling Saturday morning today.
Absolutely. You know that I'm always geeked when we have a brewer, we have a vintner, or we have a barbecue person in the studio with us. But this time it's even better because we got the butcher and he cooked. We got pork. We've got several ways of pork, and we got beef that we're going to be talking about throughout the show. So without further ado, we're going to start with the yard bird. Okay. When I step into Sobey Meats, how long is that meat counter that's on there that just thrives every weekend?
That's our poultry case is an 8-footer, but it's double stacked, so 16 feet of poultry.
That's right. And then next to that, you've got the pork, and then next to that, you've got a big case full of beef.
Yes. Yeah.
So would you say that poultry is a big part of your business?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. So if I walk into your butcher shop, describe that meat case. What am I looking at there? This is just not chicken legs, man.
No, we a lot of times, you know, still the number one meat right now are boneless, skinless breast. But especially grilling, smoking, go for chicken with the bone. You're going to get flavor, you're going to get taste out of it. It's going to be something a little bit more special. So we'll have a whole fryer, cut-ups, quarters, parts and pieces. But the other ones, especially if you have the time, are the roasting chickens. My opinion, the bigger the bird, the better the flavor. And those are about a 7 to 9 pound bird.
Really? Now, are the 7 to 9 pound chicken running around a yard, man, you don't see those very often. I mean, where do you source something like that?
Yeah, they mainly come up from Indiana.
Okay.
And in a 7 to 9 pounder, they don't run. They just sit there and eat.
Hey,
and
I'm plump. Liking it already.
And plump.
No wonder
yeah.
they're so good. Yeah. But those birds, they haven't been loaded with hormones. They don't have a big growth coming out the side of their beak or
nothing.
Whatever. These are all natural. And so let's talk about the significance of the source of the meat and the chemicals or lack thereof. What are your feelings about that? Because I know you've got an opinion on it.
Very opinionated, and to not have the growth hormones, number one, steroids, antibiotics. So these are clean birds. The other thing to me is so important, never buy, and I don't have any meats that I would call brined. they'll call marinated or brined, broth added, any of those products where they're adding solutions, stay away, folks. That's bad for you.
Okay, and typically those are done for longevity reasons on the shelf. Is that why those things have those kind of chemicals in them?
The longevity, yes, but then you're paying for that water weight. So anything that they're putting in there, you're paying for that. And you're not getting actually that natural, fresh chicken taste. We have a couple of marinades that we'll do, but it's not that pump solution that the big box stores will have in their chicken.
Sure. So one of the many things we're going to point out during the show is the reason why you'd want to use a local butcher. Sobey Meats is here in West Michigan, but wherever you're listening, I guarantee there are local butchers in your area. And is a lot of your meat sourced locally? I said this came from Indiana. I mean, that's a couple hours away, but there are local producers in a lot of markets as well?
The number one, and I sorry to say, the one thing we're lacking in is a local chicken source.
I see.
The only one that's around this side in West Michigan is Otto. They have their Otto Turkey Farm. His cousin, Gary Otto, is local chicken, but they don't produce enough for us to buy exclusively
sure.
to have their chicken. So we have to outsource that. Sorry to say.
Yeah, I got to believe a 7-8 pound bird doesn't grow overnight, especially no. if he's not getting been pumped up with roids and stuff. So,
yeah.
it's gonna take a while to produce that many. But so, one of the things that I think kind of intimidates our listeners from time to time, at least we've been told, with regarding poultry, is that large chicken, that 7-8-9 pounder. How do they know how to season it? How do they know what temperature to cook it at? And more importantly, how do they know when it's done? Let's kind of break that down a little bit. And let's start with, what do I need to do to a bird that size, a whole bird, to get it ready to put on either my grill or my smoker?
Two easiest things to remember, but time and temperature. So do it at a lower temp, even if you do it at 250 temp in your smokehouse, and then the done temperature. I believe in a digital thermometer. Put that in the breast meat. 165 is a done temp for chicken, but mine, I like to pull off the bone a little bit. So I'll actually go to like a 185
okay.
for my internal temp for chicken, just to get where those knuckles aren't bloody at all.
Mm-hmm.
I live by my Tim's Blend seasoning as a basic salt, pepper, onion, garlic mixture. But anything goes, whatever you like. If you like cayenne, like a little heat on there, go ahead and do that. Another trick will be under the skin, especially in the breast, if you're going to lay them on their back, put some butter, the real butter, not margarine, get the real deal.
That's right.
And lemon wedges is another one to keep them really extra moist.
So you're pulling the skin up maybe by the neck or down by the cavity, and you're actually tucking in pats of butter under there or the a lemon slice
yep.
in there.
And if you're going to do like a beer butt chicken, obviously the bird is standing up, go ahead right in the crop, you know, right at the top of the breast there,
right
at that sternum, just tuck the butter and the lemon wedges right under the skin. You don't have to get real radical, just enough to hold it into place.
Okay. So let's talk about that technique, because a lot of our listeners do beer butt chickens or beer can chickens or whatever you want to call those. Is it important, the neck hole by the crop where you said where the breast ends and the neck was, there's a hole there that in the cavity. Now, do you plug that so that you get a steaming on the inside of the bird from the can, or do you let that stay open and let it breathe?
I leave it open, let it breathe a little bit. Naturally, unless you're really wedging that bird, but that 7-9 pound, that roasting chicken, is going to close up a little bit anyway. More so than what the fryer will. But if it vents a little bit, that's okay. You're still going to be fine with it.
Okay. And I know Barbecue Bob often puts a can of fruit juice in there. He'll take like orange juice concentrate, pour half of it off, fill it with water so he's got a real strong orange concentrate, or lemonade, or, you know, any. I don't think he goes to fruit punch, but maybe he's Bob, you know, so I don't know. But adding that citrus flavor on the inside is a great flavor profile for those birds as well. It's something that, but I think you could put anything in there, right? I mean, they started with beer.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to try bourbon. Always make sure, Tim's tip of the day, taste that bourbon first before it goes in that can.
And, that's exactly right.
Let that bourbon steam a little bit. You'll get a great flavor as well.
Yeah. So We've hit the roaster, and then you said that you bring that up to about 180, 185. When I get down by the thighs, is that that's going to be hotter down there? One, it's closer to the fire, but two, it's not as dense as that big heavy breast on that roaster. My question is do I have a worry about getting that overdone?
No, you'll be fine, especially because it's on the bone and the skin.
Yep, exactly. That's the point I wanted to make. Thank you, because you don't have to worry about it. You're working with the most dense part of the bird that you want to get at least 165. But again, as Tim said, that 185 isn't going to hurt you a bit, and you're going to get, when you serve that to Mama, she's not going to like the little bloody knuckles. So you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Coming up next, we're going to run down the meat case, maybe hit a little beef. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Jim Crank, and I would like to personally invite you to visit Cranker's Restaurant and Brewery. With three locations in Grand Rapids, Mount Pleasant, and Big Rapids, Cranker's brews award-winning beers and has one of the finest menus in the Great Lakes. From our barbecue brisket to our junkyard omelets, Cranker's is the ultimate microbrewery experience. I believe if you eat good, you feel good. Visit crankersbrewery.com. That's crankersbrewery.com. Eat good, feel good. Cranker's. Yeah!
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And I tell you what, you're in for a treat because I'm in for a treat. We've got Tim Sobey sitting in the chair with me, or sitting in the chair next to me, I guess I better say. That'd be one strong chair. But Tim is with Sobey Meats, and this is all about the butcher. And basically what we did in the first segment is we're going to run around the butcher shop today, down the meat case, and give you tips and techniques on different kinds of proteins. And we talked a little bit about chicken in the last segment, Tim. And there was one more tip that you wanted to give regarding using the poultry out of the case if you're just new with a smoker, which I thought was a great idea.
Everybody goes for the wings. And actually right now the chicken is actually raised for the wing itself. Everything is a byproduct. But instead of wasting the extra money on the wing, if you're unfamiliar, you're nervous about it, try drumsticks. Get more meat, great flavor, and they're going to cook about the same. And we even have some drum racks they'll hold like a dozen drumsticks, put the whole rack in there, and let them smoke away, baby.
Yeah, cool. Great idea. Great idea. And we're going to dive into beef in this segment. But before we do that, the beefiest guy I know is on the grilling line. Barbecue Bob, where are you at, man?
Hey, boys. I am. I woke up in Richmond, Virginia this morning, and I got to tell you, it was probably 55 degrees. It was okay.
Are you down there campaigning for Bernie?
I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't.
You really put me in a bad spot. No, I'm not a socialist. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I am just doing my Arctic Spa thing, and I've got this cool business in Richmond, Virginia that I had to help out, and as soon as I'm done here, I'm going home this afternoon. So I've been out east all week. I was actually in the Catskills, which I've never been to, and Jop, you would love it. The Catskill Mountains are, you would absolutely love it. They're not gigantic. They're just, it's beautiful. Breathtaking streams and just everything you'd want. And it's in western New York. North Central, I guess you'd probably call it. And I actually spent a couple nights downtown in Times Square in Manhattan.
Yeah, you sent me some pictures of some stuff you've been eating, man. That did you find anything that even resembles a barbecue?
Well, I'm just a carnivore, so I'm just always seeking meat grilled of some sort. But yes, I've found that there's lots of food in New York. I went to a Cuban place that's called Havana. And I actually met with the owner. Wonderful, wonderful business. He's got about seven of them. But it's just a really cool Cuban restaurant. I mean, you feel like you're in Havana when you're in there. It looks like it's about 80 years old. All he needs is a couple 57 Chevys in the parking lot. But it's right down in Times Square. And I ordered a churrasco. I've heard five different pronunciations of it. But basically, it's a skirt steak, and you got Mr. Sobey in there filling in for me, don't you?
Absolutely, and it's funny you say that because I'm eating a piece of steak right now, listening to you, just to keep my appetite. But
yeah, you don't want to wilt away,
right? I don't.
And I'm so sorry that it fell in the jus that's laying in the platter here. Oh. I'm so sorry. It's dripping with that on there. I apologize.
Yeah, you know how he is, but.
Timmy, thanks so much for coming down there. That's awesome.
Oh, always a pleasure.
So, Bob, what is churrasco? I'm unfamiliar with it.
Well, as Mr. Sobey will tell you, it's a skirt steak. Some people call it a plate steak. And at this little Havana, how they did it was they marinated it in a mojo marinade. It's a mojo. I'm not sure how they pronounce it, but it's M-O-J-O. And it's basically garlic, salt, black pepper, sour orange juice or sour lemon juice, onion, oregano, and olive oil. And that's a marinade for like 8 hours. And then they serve it, every time I've had churrasco, it's been served with a chimichurri, which is why I had my one friend on a few weeks back to give us a good chimichurri recipe. The chimichurri that the Cubans use is also a cilantro-based, not a parsley-based, like our last guest. His recipe was based on parsley, but I actually made it more with a cilantro base. But that was just such a great meal. And, Tim, you would have really appreciated the beautiful piece of skirt steak they used in this restaurant. And they charged me dearly, but it was a fine representation of Cuban food. And that was my big highlight. Last night I had some great grilled tuna here in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm ready to come home.
Yeah, come on back home to some beef and pork, would you? Quit eating like a bird out there. This is crazy. But I know that you're trying to watch your manly figure, and you're working good on that. Snap Fitness is proud of you. They haven't seen me darken their door yet, but they're proud of you, so that's good, man.
All right. Well, hey, you guys have a great day, and look forward to seeing you next week.
All right, very good. Barbecue Bob out on the East Coast, knocking it out with the hot tub business, as well as doing a little field research on some great recipes that we'll share with you later in the year. Back to my buddy Tim here. What was that you cut while we had Bob on the phone? You got a piece of beef here, and it's damn good.
Yeah, we call that our Sobey Sizzler, and it's actually a Terrace Major. It's different. It's off the front shoulder. instead of off the hind quarter.
Okay.
And it's a specific muscle that runs in along up in the chuck meat and has a phenomenal flavor, doesn't it?
Oh, my. Yeah, really flavorful. And if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Tim Sobey, the proprietor and butcher at Sobey Meats, is talking now about a cut of meat that you're not going to go to the big box store and find this. This is something that a butcher is going to pull out deep in that front end of that cow, and this is the specialness that you get when you go to a quality butcher. Tim's taken time and energy to find this cut and put it in his meat counter. How much of this is in each shoulder? I mean, there's not a lot of it in there, is there?
There's one of these in each shoulder.
Right.
So out of that whole 800 to 900 pound carcass, you get two of these.
And how big are they?
They'll run between maybe 9 ounces up to about a 16-ouncer.
Okay. Now, everybody's heard of filet mignon, right? That's on the back strap of the, or on the inside loins, much bigger. Tim has dug deep and found this cut, and I'm going to tell you that it's equally as good, but more flavorful than a filet. Way more flavorful, but the tenderness is unbelievable. Just unique, man. I mean, that's a unique thing. Again, it's a Terra Major. Is there a street name for it that if they went to another butcher and asked for it, or do you ask for that Terrace Major?
Just at our shop, ask for the Sobey Sizzler. Way easier to remember.
Yeah.
But to answer that question, no, that's the name that they'll go by.
Okay. All right. But anyway, very cool. So that's a specialty cut, but that's going to be the Grilling Guys tip of the day right there, is if you can go in there, and we'll break down where Sobey's is later in the show. It's on the northwest side of Grand Rapids, but you're not going to find this cut of meat. You're going to be amazed. And, Tim, you're going to get a big run on these things, so you better have a whole herd out back that you're pulling these out of. But let's continue down through there. Now, grilling versus smoking beef. We'll get into the smoking a lot into the pork, but a lot of people don't smoke beef other than maybe a beef brisket. Are there other cuts besides a brisket that you see people coming in and you, because a lot of times I imagine they ask for, how do I prepare this, right? I mean, that's one of the things of a butcher shop, right?
That's right. Another great cut, and actually have some with me today, is the tri-tip. Tri-tip is another that smokes up phenomenally well. But here's a tip, really. Even if, you know, the competition charcoal that we'll use, you don't have all those chemicals that you would with, like, another charcoal.
Right.
So a lot of times, and we've done that before, people think, well, it doesn't have that charcoal-y taste because you don't have all the other chemicals in there. So take something like this. Even if you have your smoker running for something else, put your steaks in there, get actually some smoke, and then finish them up on the grill.
What a great tip. What a great tip, because meat, after it hits about 140, doesn't accept smoke anymore. But from the time you put it on until it hits there, the smoke penetrates the outside to in, and you'll get what's called a smoke ring. And it's pink, usually, so people think, ooh, it's not done. But think about the logic of this. If you put a piece of meat on a fire, the first thing that's going to get done is the outside. The last thing that's going to get done is the center. And a smoke ring is always on the outside, so it's not anything you need to worry about. But that's a great tip, is if you've got the smoker and the grill going, which oftentimes I do, and some other people do as well, smoke them up for a half hour, get a little bit of flavor on there, and then finish them off on the grill to that medium-rare temperature that everybody loves.
And even with something like this, you're going to do a steak. Like my wife, Teresa, always says, cook once, eat twice. Do extra portions, smoke them up, get them done. The leftover steak in that you have, and even throw your peppers and onions in the smoker. Do a stir fry or fajitas with the leftovers. They are the bomb. Don't worry about doing it in the fry pan.
Where you been, man? Why is this the first time we've ever sat in this chair? I needed all these tips. That's a great one right there. Very cool. Very cool. Well, coming up next, guess what? We're going to continue down the meat case, but we have not left beef yet. There's way too much stuff here in front of us, and we're going to dive into the big daddy of them all. That's pork. That we're going to put on the grill and the smoker. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Here comes old Rose. She's looking mighty fine. Here comes Hot Nancy. She's stepping right on time. Here goes the street light. We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life.
satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out ArcticSpas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy show.
Mmm. Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Chomp Network. I have Mr. Sobey from Sobey Meats sitting beside me, and we were going to do Down the Meat Case, and we were going to switch types of protein between segments, but I'm telling you what, we are not leaving beef because the man just cut up a piece of tri-tip, and I'm going to shut up and let him tell you about it while I finish chewing this.
I was watching you, too. It's like, my mouth was watering. We got a mouthful of tri-tip, and we shouldn't have like a hearty cabin. By gosh, we got one just to kind of wash that back with. Yeah, that turns out nice.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Beef tri-tip is a really versatile cut of meat. Comes out of the hind quarter, and we've done them as a roast. So you can put them in your smoker or on the grill as a whole chunk. And they're maybe a pound and a half. We've got a couple behemoths around 3 pounds. That's a rarity. But a nice solid muscle meat in there, very delicious for flavor, very tender, and you can cut them into like a sizzler. But a lot of times we'll just do them whole, and then we'll slice them up when we get them to a good medium rare, put them on a pretzel bun, some caramelized onions, maybe a piece of provolone on there. And so you can do it as a standalone sizzler or just the beef or make a nice sandwich out of it.
I'm going to tell you what, that guys, if you've not tried one of these tri-tips, This is money meat. It really is. Now, Tim, in the price category, we haven't dove into anything on pricing, but this is not one of the most expensive cuts, but it's not the cheapest cut in the case either.
No, I call this a middle of the road.
Right.
So if you get a less expensive cut, a ball tip sizzler, a boneless sirloin, which is, as you know, still my favorite, you know, is a bone-in sirloin. But the tri-tip is part of that bottom sirloin meat. And it's, you know, you're going to be in that $9, $10, depending on where you go. Some places get $11 or $12. But it's a little bit less than you're going to pay for a ribeye or a porterhouse or a T-bone. And still, what an awesome flavor, though.
Yeah, and you made a comment earlier that if the meat is next to or contains a little connective tissue, is there's a lot of flavor there. And I don't mean to gross everybody out, but this is a man that understands his craft. And when you're looking at a hanging quarter, you're not looking at it like I would look at it. You're looking at it as like there's a lot of complexity there, and you're digging in and finding this stuff for us. And that isn't going to happen in a lot of big box stores. You don't have a, you know, maybe last week I was the aisle manager in hardware, and now I'm a butcher, and that doesn't quite get that bad. But you know what I mean?
No, you're about right on it, because most of those big box stores don't do their cutting. Everything comes in pre-cut, pre-packaged. You're basically a shelf stock boy.
Right, yeah, and it's a world of difference in the butcher shop. Trust me on this one. Okay, Tim, cut me up another piece of this tri-tip, and while you're running the knife, we're going to dive into the king of barbecue, whether it be smoking, grilling, or grinding, is that he just handed Brian a big old hunk of tri-tip on the end of the knife. Gotta love it. But the king of all meats on the grill is pork, right? And everybody does, you know, ribs. Everybody does pulled pork. Everybody does brats. But nobody does them like you. And so I want to dive into this a little bit. Let's talk about cuts of pork, because I'm not sure there's as many as there are in cuts of beef. And why is that?
Part is the size of the animal. So on the loin of beef, you would actually have more of a breakdown between a T-bone, well, starting at the front of the animal, a ribeye, and then into the T-bone, the porterhouse, a sirloin. So it's not as defined. It's called more a basic pork chop.
Okay.
So right there, you're taking out a lot of cuts. And because it's a smaller animal, smaller muscles, things are grouped together a little bit more like on a pork butt.
Right.
You don't have the definition of those individual muscles like on beef.
And interestingly enough, a pork butt is really not the butt of the hog.
Correct. That's in the shoulder.
Right. Front shoulder.
Front shoulder.
The back is what, ham?
Yep.
And right.
What they would call the ham of the hog is that back thigh, that back leg.
Right. So why are there some pork chops that are boneless and some that are bone in? Is it a flavor thing? Why is that? Or just because of the offering?
No, as they started doing away with the craft of meat cutting, everything started going to boneless cuts. So actually, the boneless chops, where you'd take those off the pork loin, on the back side of that, if you left the bone on, like a bone in pork chop, that's where your baby back ribs come from. Below that, then, would be your spare ribs, or, you know, your St. Louis ribs are really getting popular, so we can touch about that later.
Right.
But getting that boneless loin off is, people were looking to get that, just take it home, that simple boneless cut, throw it in, no waste kind of a thing. But folks, anytime you cook on the bone, you're always going to get flavor and moisture.
Both. And that is a huge tip. Maybe you don't like having the bone on the plate. Personally, I don't buy him any other way, because he's absolutely correct, is that the moisture that bone holds in there and the flavor when it's cooking, you cannot replace that with anything but what's there. Mother Nature put it there for a reason, and you're going to want to try it that way. Now, if you don't like that, you know, man up, I guess, is where I'm at, because that's the best way to eat it. But there's a lot of other ways that you can have it that are perfectly fine. Now, the next thing I want to do is let's talk about the difference between baby back ribs and St. Louis ribs, because so many times the St. Louis racks are wider, flatter, bigger, the baby backs are smaller, but yet the baby backs are more than those big flat ones. Why is that?
Just supply and demand. And there again, like with the chicken wing, why is that chicken wing so much more expensive? Is it supply and demand? So actually, do the St. Louis ribs or spare ribs.
Same name, right?
Well, the St. Louis ribs come off from the spare ribs.
Okay.
So if
Sure.
Yep. So if you break off like the sternum right in the middle, all that connective cartilage that's in
those rib tips.
Those are the
burn
rib
ends
tips
and things that they talk about, right?
Yep. So part of the spare rib, you'd have the St. Louis ribs and then down to the rib tips.
Right.
And the St. Louis ribs, I've been saying for years, there's so much more meat and more flavor. I'll eat baby backs. You know, it's meat. I'm going to eat it.
Right, yeah.
But if I'm going to do it for myself, I'm going to do a St. Louis rib any day of the week over baby back.
Well, there you have it. I mean, you got a guy that is meat case is full of this stuff. He can have anything he wants. He's going to do the spare ribs. Why? Because they're thicker and they're longer, and they're going to provide as much or more flavor as you have in the baby back ribs. Now, why do people buy baby back ribs? Hard for me to say. Are they more tender, or what's the lure there?
There again, it's that marketing.
Sure.
That how much have we had baby backs pounded into us? If you go out to any restaurant and you're going to get ribs, what do they have? Baby backs. So
right.
There again, it's that familiarity that people have. Well, I want the baby backs. But and sometime, you know what I'd tell anybody? Get a rack of each. Take a baby back. Take either a spare rib or, you know, cut it down and have the St. Louis rib and do them up side by side, everything identical, and let your taste buds be your own judge and see what you think.
Right. Now, a couple things about the ribs, whether they're spares or baby backs, is there's a membrane on the back of there that is a normal part of the animal. You want to pull that membrane off there before you cook, in my opinion. Some people don't do it. They do it after they're cooked, but I prefer to have it off there before they're cooked because it acts kind of like a little shield from getting the seasoning and the sauces onto the meat if you leave that membrane. And it's on the underside of both of those cuts. But if you pull it off of there, the seasonings penetrate a little bit better, and you end up with, in my opinion, a better product when it's done. Would you agree?
Yeah, you don't have a little bit of the chewiness with it, but many, many times I left it on. If competition, you would never leave that on there. Always take it off.
Right.
But it's easy to get off there, and for the work of it, take a minute, grab a towel, pull that membrane off, and you'll be glad you did.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move back a little bit further on the hog. We're pretty high on the hog now. You making your own bacon, okay?
Yeah.
Where's that come from, and what are the reasons why I know your bacon is better than I can buy in the store from the mass-produced? What are you doing to it?
Well, one is we're starting with our local bellies off our local pork. And they'll call the belly, it's actually higher up on the outside of the ribs all the way down to the sternum. So they just call it the pork belly. So those are a way thicker slab of that belly meat. And then we smoke it ourselves, hardwood smoked hickory. We don't do any liquid smoke. There again, time and temperature. Other guys, they might get their bellies done in 4, 5, 6 hours. Ours take 12 to 14 hours in a smokehouse.
Yeah.
It makes a way better bacon.
Now,
And the brine is the other trick.
Yeah. So this is a piece of meat that you are advocating that you brine.
Yes.
Right.
You have to brine it if you're going to be doing bacon. So you got to get it to cure. But even if you do is just fresh pork belly, braise it off or smoke it off, just have that. It's really rich. But holy crap balls, is it delicious.
Yeah. Our friend Matt Jack has a pork belly recipe. He calls it a porchetta. And it's one of the most amazing things I've ever eaten in my life is a Mad Jack porchetta. The guy's down in the Marshall area, and he's a caterer. And you've had him up for your anniversary celebrations. And Mad Jack's line is 100 people long, and everybody's like 10.
Yeah.
Everybody else. Yeah. That porchetta is an unbelievable thing. Well, hey, guess what, Tim? We're not done with pork. We got to cover this whole ground meat side. So we're going to hit that in the next segment. But you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's a trip around the meat market. You're not going to want to miss us. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. What a fun day this has been. I got Tim Sobey of Sobey Meats sitting beside me, and he's the butcher extraordinaire. But I'm going to tell you, he brought in almost one of everything. Not really, but a lot of stuff. And during the break, we were just having a little bit of pork loin. And Tim, you got to tell me what you did to that, because it's like I squeezed it with my finger and it started to fall apart. But yet it's not overdone. It's just seasoned perfectly and perfectly cooked. And we didn't talk about whole pork loin in the last segment. So let's dive into that real quick.
Real quickly, with the, call it a pork chop, boneless pork loin, however you're going to do it. The biggest trick nowadays, I would say, they virtually have eliminated trichinosis in pork. So it always had to be, you know, eat your pork well done.
My mom said that to me, you know, got to cook it to death. Oh, I hated pork chops when I was growing up because she'd pan fry them and cook them to death. It was like we could go play hockey with these things.
Drying a popcorn fart.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And but now, actually, you can serve pork a couple degrees less than beef. So you can serve pork at 145. Even myself, a little bit of that old school, I don't like to have them as anywhere near as bloody as my beef. But the biggest trick is maybe only do them to an internal temp of like 155. Pull them off at 150, they'll go up a few degrees. You're going to keep more moisture in that chop.
Always let it rest, guys. You never pull something off the grill or the smoker and immediately cut it. Explain that, the chemistry or the physics behind that. Why does a piece of meat need to rest?
You've already gotten that, we'll call a bark, but you've seared on the outside. By letting it rest a few minutes, lets those juices stay in a little bit longer so that the muscle meat will absorb those juices back into it and just stay within the meat before you just cut it and let them run out.
Right, because if you cut it too soon, before it cools a little bit and contracts, everything expands with heat and contracts as it cools, right? So as it contracts back in, if you let that sit there 5 minutes, maybe even 10 on the board before you put a knife to it, it's going to contract, it's going to settle down a little bit, and when you slice that, the meat retains the juice rather than ending up on the board. That's a huge tip, because you can cook something perfectly, and if you cut it too soon, then your juice is all on the board, and you put it on your plate. Maybe the first or the second bite's good, but it starts to dry out. by the end, and you just don't want that. So let's go back to the back end of the hog. We haven't touched that. There isn't just hams there, are there? I mean, there's other cuts that we can grab in the meat market. As I walk down through your pork case, let's go one into the other of the case.
Well, on the back end, the main one you're going to have is that back ham,
right?
Which you could separate that into a couple of muscles, but it's basically the ham. Now, the other one I would really encourage you to try would be the hocks, which is off that shank portion.
And the shank is between the bottom of the ham and the hoof.
Correct.
Right? It's it's kind of like your shin.
Yep.
It's the hog's shin.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
And there again is a lot of that connective tissue. On beef, it'd be the beef shank. If you do veal shank or something for osbuco. But there's a lot of connective tissue. It takes longer to cook. And you want it to be almost like falling apart, but oh, is it packed full of flavor?
Yep.
And do those with the skin on, with the rind on them. There again holds fat and flavor. When you smoke them up, crisping that rind on the smoker, and then even if you turn it up at the very end, you could even throw in the deep fryer for just a few minutes if you're that adventurous in that crisping pork rind. Oh, man.
That's man food. I'm going to tell you that right now. You are not messing around. So, but the hock in there, when you pull it off the smoker, because I've eaten this at restaurants, and you're absolutely correct. It's wonderfully flavorful. But how do you eat it? I mean, you cut it away. You got the skin on there, the rind, as you said. So you're going to cut that away, and there's a layer of meat between the rind and the bone. It's not a lot, but it's worth the picking, right?
Yeah, and there's more of that, I'll say, that shank meat that's on the bone. And that's one of those from myself. Just forget the silverware.
Yeah.
just go at it and you know, pull the rind off it and just pick it up and just work it over. I mean, if you're in a fancier restaurant, okay, use your fork and knife to get to the bone, but do not waste the bone meat. Closer to the bone, the sweeter the meat.
Yeah,
baby.
Right. You heard it here, right? Tim Sobey, he's got that on a t-shirt somewhere. I'm sure he does. But okay, Tim, one of the things that you're famous for, you've won Kielbasa Idol year after year after year, is the ground pork meats. And you put them in a casing, and they're called kielbasa, they're called brats, they're called a lot of things. But let's break that down. What do I look for when I'm walking in the case, and you got 40 of them there? You got some pretty traditional stuff. Your Parkside is unbelievable, all the way to some goofy stuff, depending on the seasonal and what you're doing. And I say goofy in the best way, because it's kind of unique, right? And you might put fruits or vegetables or something in those that are seasonal. Let's break those down a little bit when I'm looking at your brat case.
Well, even if you're going to make sausages at home, first, you know, don't hesitate. Come on in. If you need help stuffing a sausage or smoking, we're always there for tips. You got to have fat content in your sausages. And that ground pork, really that generic term is sausage, is basically putting seasonings to a ground pork. Whether it's kielbasa or bratwurst, metwurst, chorizo, andouille, doesn't matter. It's basically
the whole
a
family.
Sausage. The whole family of wursts. It's all a sausage. So, yeah, we have some of those traditional things, but that's one. As you go to different markets, that the small markets will have their traditional and their, let's see, what would we say, those more unique kinds of bratwurst. We have an Aloha brat. Like I said, we just came out with a Reuben brat, and pretty happy. I've actually resurrected. I tried that a couple, 3 years ago and just wasn't happy with it. So there's not even a seasoning out there for it. So it's all created from scratch to get to a good Reuben sandwich, but in a bratwurst form. But otherwise, the Aloha brat has some fruits in it. And with beers, we do some of those, a beer 30 brat.
Right.
The Berlin Perrin has a Perrin black ale in it. So it's the sky's the limit when you're doing sausage.
The cool part about that is that there really is a lot of creativity that's allowed in the brat world, so to speak, because no one has the recipe for a brat. There isn't this is what a brat is supposed to be. Now, we can grill those. Some people even boil them. Some people will smoke them. Why is that flexibility and that versatility, rather, there? Why do you think that is? I mean, there's something unique about a brat that you can cook it a lot of different ways, and it always comes out tasty.
Part of that is how much in a hurry are you? So now you get after work, Timmy's got to get to ball practice. Let's take the brat. Let's simmer it, you know, on the stove. And I would say never boil a brat. Bring the water to a boil. Put the sauce, whether it's brat or kielbasa, whatever, put the sausage in the boiling water. Just when it wants to break boil again, turn the heat down so it only simmers.
Really?
You don't want it to boil and break that casing. You want to keep the seasonings and the juices in that casing.
Well, there's another great tip, because you're going to drop it in boiling water. Obviously, the piece of meat's cold. It's going to drop the temperature of your water. And then when it comes back up, you don't want it to boil again. Just get close there and then drop the temperature, because the casing will stay whole. And that's a natural casing, right, that
yes.
you're using?
Yeah, that's all we use.
And it's the best. Why? Because it's got flavor and it's got texture. It'll snap when it's cooked right. Very, very good.
After that, then all you'd have to do is just brown it on the grill or in the fry pan or whatever. Go for the grill.
Yeah.
Aside from that, now you got more time of ball games on, or, you know, a neighbor came over across the fence and, you know, you're smoking a nice big fat cigar and you're drinking a nice craft beer.
Imagine that, huh?
And you have time to put that brat in your smoker. There again, in that casing, low and slow is always better. It'll stay juicier and take as long as you want or as short as you want.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about a brat, too, is if you put it on a smoker, we've done these at tailgates and events and things. We get all of our meat from Sobey Meats, but we've done these brats on there. They'll hold for an hour, hour and a half after we get them to temperature without drying out if we just keep that low and slow temperature on there. That's some good man-eating, and it's time for some man law. Today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Pasty and Barbecue in downtown Saranac, Michigan. Barbecue Bob's not here. Eat gravy on your pasties. Leave the ketchup at home, huh? So, today's Man Law, all men must eat meat, and a lot of meat, if you're not almost a borderline carnivore. For no reason should a man ever be a vegetarian or eat stuff like tofu. Ain't gonna happen, especially on today's show, because we have the master of meat, Mr. Tim Sobey, just handed me another piece of pork off the end of the knife, beautifully seasoned. Oh, my. Tim, it's your turn to talk, because I'm going to eat.
Well, funny that you mentioned, you know, getting things man law and just having meat. Just before our son got married, when the girls were having their wedding showers, and it was just my son Tony and I, for dinner, we would have a meat fest, a red meat fest, and we only had two rules. Number one, that's all the meal was meat, and number two, we had to eat it off the grill. So when we were done, all we had was a couple forks and knives and tongs to wash and put back in the drawer, and that was it.
What a great time. Hey, we've got a friend of the show. There's an event coming up. She's fighting her fight with cancer. And Tim, tell us a little bit about this Lovin' on Linda event real quick, because I know you're a sponsor of it.
Yeah, it's going to be this coming up Saturday. It's going to be at West Catholic. And a great family doing this fundraiser. And we all, I mean, you can't hardly know somebody, not know somebody that has cancer, mm-hmm. whether it's a family member, neighbor, whatever. But West Catholic, and this is a long event. I mean, we're talking like about 12 hours. They have polka bands all day long. I'm going to have food all day long. Lots of raffle items. Jerry Kaminsky's polka band is going to be playing along with about seven or eight other bands. So a great fundraiser. $20 to get in the door. You're helping a local family that really needs it right now.
Awesome. We're happy to support that. Tim, one last thing. Sobey Meats, where can they find you?
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker. SobeyMeats.com.
Hey, I tell you what, if you've not been there, take a trip out there. Stop by. You will be amazed, and you'll also be able to get some of these wonderful cuts. Thanks for listening to The Grilling Guys. We'll be talking with you next week.
Here comes old Rose. She's looking mighty fine. Here comes Hot Nancy. She's stepping right on time.
Hey, Jop, I'd high-five you on that last play, but I can't. My plate's full, and I got my beer in the other hand.
Hey, Bob, you need the Super Tailgate Plate. It holds a bottle, a can, or a glass, plus all the fixings in one hand. Whether you're tailgating, partying, or at home sitting around the campfire, you got a hand free for anything you need to do.
Wow, Jop, where do I get mine?
You know what? At thegrillingguys.com, we've got them. Just click on that Super Tailgate link, and they're available in 12 and 4-packs.
Now, that's a game winner, baby.
You bet.